141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic go 8 points clear after Scott Brown's late winner in an incident-packed game at Kilmarnock. Rangers slip up at home to St Johnstone, drawing a blank without Alfredo Morelos, and Motherwell make it 6 wins in a row after a howler by Hearts keeper Colin Doyle. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Where do you start after a weekend like that? The good, the bad and the ugly. Celtic made a good job of extending their lead in the championship. Rangers made a bad job of exerting pressure on the defending champions. The ugly bit was the sectarian singing, the vandalised seats and the coin thrown at Chris Boyd inside Rugby Park. For the avoidance of doubt, everyone on this programme abhors the antisocial behaviour which periodically shames and stigmatises our game. We abhor it on a universal basis, and we acknowledge the vast majority of fans would also rather live without those who bring the game into disrepute.
Alex Ray, on a footballing sense, yeah, an 8-point gap now for Celtic. How big a weekend was that in the title race? I'll leave it up to the phones to decide, yeah, whether there's any life left in it or not, but there certainly was a big development over the last,
yeah,
couple of days.
I would have to say Celtic are the big winners over the weekend, Gordon. Rangers, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock all dropping points. So you would have to say they're starting to gather momentum as well at the moment. And you know, where do Rangers go for here? They've got a big game on Wednesday. Dundee Mall team off out the bottom two as well. Now, that was a big weekend, and Gary Caldwell, you know, 5 wins on the bounce, which, so it's a remarkable turnaround at Thistle as well. But plenty to talk about tonight.
An 8-point gap, Hugh, is that a gap that can be bridged?
Unlikely. When you look at Rangers and what they have done so far under Steven Gerrard, it's not much different to what previous Rangers managers have done at this stage of the season. You would have to have, I think, a particularly vivid imagination to see Rangers, and it's only Rangers who count in this because the rest are too far behind. You'd need a vivid imagination to see Rangers eat into not only an 8-point lead, but a goal difference of 11, which could equate to another point if necessary. I do appreciate that Celtic have to play Aberdeen, they have to go away to Tynecastle shortly, and they have Rangers twice as well. However, the celebrations after the game at Rugby Park had a significant look about them yesterday. I think the Celtic players, yeah, realised what they had done.
It wasn't just the you know, the players who you obviously saw that with the fans as well. Speaking to one or two today, they were saying the significance on the back of Rangers drawing on Saturday. Yeah. They knew that if they could get that win, that important win, it would make all the difference. And they felt as if that was going to be a job done.
Does the nature of the fixtures that we saw over the weekend come into that as well, in that Rangers would be expected to win at home, certainly, absolutely, to St Johnstone? And I'm sure Celtic are expected to win every game, but on paper that looks like a harder fixture. History has shown, yep, that. So that's where you get this type of reaction.
St Johnstone went to Ibrox having lost 5 in the bounce, albeit 3 of them against Celtic. However, there were 5 time losers going to Ibrox. Rangers made a catastrophic blunder and showed themselves to be perhaps a one-man team. Take Alfredo Morelos out of the equation and you're not left with much. I think they missed Arfield as well. However, it was a serious mistake at home, and Celtic, after what I thought was a fairly pedestrian, laboured performance at Rugby Park, they hung in, and they hung in, and they hung in. And by the end of the game, Bio was on the park, Weah was on the park, Burke was on the park, and Celtic just kept hammering on the door until eventually Scott Brown opened the door.
0141 951 1025. A big weekend with umpteen talking points. So let's hear from you. What's on your mind? 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Brendan Rogers says the win at Kilmarnock was as good as they've played at Rugby Park in his time there. The Hoops boss stressed it's always a hard place to go, and he was happy they were able to exploit Rangers dropping points.
Well, it was a great win for us. Thought we played well. It's never an easy place to come, and you're never going to come and create a load of chances because of the, you know, the speed of the surface and everything else, and also because Kilmarnock are super organised and make it tough for you. So, but it's as good as we've played here in my time coming to here. You know, everyone talks about, you know, when rivals and that slip up and draw and whatnot, and we Aberdeen and Rangers doing that. But you still got to exploit that, and obviously to come to here, which is you know, a very difficult place to do that on the back of a really tough midweek game. Just keeps our domestic form going to a really high level. I thought we played well today in the game, had good control. And then at the end, whenever, obviously, had to deal with a lot of balls in behind, you know, because they've got good pace with the two boys up front. So they stick it in behind early and you've got to deal with that and with the bounce on the surface. But defensively, we were strong, solid, another clean sheet. And then with the ball, I thought we had good control.
I go back to the argument about synthetic pitches. Celtic hung in on, for me, what is basically a slab of concrete with lines on it. I'd rather watch a match in Morrison's car park at Annie's Land Cross.
I think that's inaccurate, but I'll let you have your opinion for now.
It's not an ideal surface, but what you will say about Celtic, they managed to dig out a result, Gordon. They are resilient. It's one of the things I agree with you. I thought they were quite laboured yesterday. Brendan Rodgers says it was one of the best performances against Kilmarnock. Listen, see, when you're winning in the manner, what you do at the death ultimately gets you the 3 points, and that's what it's all about. And when you talk about Steven Gerrard at the weekend, he was saying he was looking for leaders and someone to step up to mark. Scott Brown did that in the dying seconds, and that's what actually makes a difference.
Well, Brendan Rodgers says he can actually excuse the red card Scott Brown picked up because of the emotion of the game. The skipper was sent off for a celebration, fans spilled onto the pitch. Rodgers says that is something he doesn't want to see.
I always think it's unfortunate for players. Of course, there's the reaction from them going to the crowd, but I think at that stage of the game as well, you know, there's such emotion in it. And for a player to get sent off, I always feel it's harsh. But there was a great leap by Dedrick. You know, you watch it again, he heads it back down, and then Brownie finishes a slight deflection. But I think if it doesn't deflect, it's a penalty.
Can you excuse Brown's red card, just given the emotion, the psychology of it?
Yeah, no, I don't. There's no blame. Can't blame him. I thought he was excellent in the game.
There did seem to be a lot happened at the goal, fans on the pitch and that kind of thing. Did you have much of a view of that?
No, I think initially, obviously, whenever we score, you're celebrating with the bench and stuff. And then when I look round, there was a bit of a melee going on and supporters would wander onto the pitch that we don't want to see. I can understand the emotion of it all, but I didn't see so much of it. And then before I knew it, obviously, we had to reorganise very quickly because we were down to 10 men.
01419511025, give us your take on all the big talking points from this weekend. Let's speak firstly to Stuart, who is in Cambuslang. Hi, Stuart.
Evening, guys.
Hello.
It's about just this game. I want to see how well I thought Kilmarnock and how Stephen Clark's going and playing really well. And they're a very, very difficult team to beat. But as you said, Celtic just hang on and got the winner. But my main point is that people pay good money to go and watch football. Now, a player that scores a goal in the last minute of the game and you know over his own fans and celebrates and gets sent off, to me, it's shocking. You go to football, you pay good money, you want your team scores, you're happy, you want to celebrate. Now, Scott Brown didn't want the fans to come on the park. He didn't run over there thinking they were going to come on the park. He went over to celebrate with them, and he gets sent off. I just think it's shocking. I don't know what you guys think. I think if it's in front of your own fans, it should be fine. In front of the opposite fans, okay, you're sent off for that. Not in front of your own fans, guys. I'm sorry.
There are two sides to the coin, Stuart. On the one hand, there's the emotions involved in that incredible last minute goal, and of course Scott Brown is right to get carried away. The significance of the goal is undeniable and he's right to get carried away, but the referee on the other hand has no other option. As the rules stand at present, Bobby Madden had no other option but to show the yellow card and send Scott Brown off, because people had surged forward, they had come over the barriers. The referee, until such times as the SFA and the SPFL get together and decide that emotion and football must be allowed to dominate all else, Bobby Madden had no option but to show the red card.
I mean, Alex, if we take a step back, because we don't agree in much in this part of the world, let's not make this about Scott Brown or about Celtic or about Rangers or about anyone else. I think most fans feel
absolutely
a bit like Stuart, and please let me reiterate, forget that goal yesterday, I'm talking generally.
Yep.
Most fans think it's a nonsense, but we're kind of used to it and you accept it and you expect it. As Brendan Rodgers mentions there, everyone knew Scott Brown was going to get sent off yesterday. But most fans, I think, would prefer that you were allowed to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with most people's rationale when it comes to this. For me, it needs to be scrapped. I understand that you have to watch as well if there's kids at the front there, Hugh, and there's a kind of push towards the front, but if you can't celebrate in the dying seconds of a game, regardless of what club it is, it's totally wrong. But under the letter of the law, and until that changes, there is nothing, you know, he can do. He had to give him the second yellow card, but it is an absolute nonsense.
Stuart, how significant a result was it in the title
massive.
Race?
It was absolutely massive, you know. And the guys think they'll ever change these rules about the sending off for celebrating.
The only way rules can get changed.
Well, this one's an interesting one, Hugh, because I think it's almost a bit of a grey area with regards to how much of it has been influenced by police guidance in the past. But I think it remains a grey area. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that one. But it would be interesting to see if it could
well,
be cleared up.
There's no reason why the police can't be brought into discussions. The only way this can be done, though, is for the clubs to get together. And after all, the SFA is made up of the clubs. Everyone overlooks that. They're not there specifically to try and be miserable towards the clubs and try to take joy out of the game. If the clubs get together, if somebody takes a practical step, then whether it's stopping players being sent off for celebrating, moving the season to summertime, whatever it is you want, somebody has to take a practical step.
Stevie Clark says they didn't deserve to lose. He's got no complaints, though, really, about Kirk Broadfoot's red card. The Kilmarnock boss described the celebrations from Celtic as over the top, but he sees that as a backhanded compliment.
Thought we played well. Certainly didn't deserve the cruel break at the end. And obviously, if you go down to 10 men, it's more difficult. But even at 10 men, I couldn't see Celtic scoring. Took a big deflection off Alex to get the goal. Like I said, we didn't deserve that. The shot for Brown was going over the bar anyway. We played really well. We reached the standards that we keep asking and talking about, so... Sad about the result, but not about the performance. Performance was really good.
How did you see the red card decision, Steve?
From the side of the pitch, didn't look great, to be honest. I haven't seen the close-ups, so I've only seen the wide-angle lens that our boys have got. And it's hard to tell. I wouldn't be complaining too much about it, I don't think, if there is contact. I think you're always concerned when fans go on the pitch like that. I think in a sort of backhanded way, the celebrations that were probably a little bit over the top is a big compliment to Kilmarnock. And that Celtic come here and celebrate a victory like that. So we'll take it as a backhanded compliment.
I think he's right about that. The Celtic supporters knew the significance of the result. They also knew as soon as Rangers drew against St Johnstone that they were going to a tough place where Celtic had lost it on their previous two visits. So that added to the significance of the occasion. Kirk Broadfoot, though, is giving me my weekly dose of good humour, because the weekend before he made a two-handed save to concede a penalty kick and then made his gesture to the referee. What? You're kidding? You're going to give a penalty for that? And then yesterday when he made a challenge on Scott Brown that could only have ended in a red card, he was at it again. And I think he cost Kilmarnock big time, because it meant that they had to restructure. It meant that Celtic were given carte blanche to go forward. And I think that tackle was particularly rash and costly for Kilmarnock.
Brian Sturrock says, panel, should Scott Brown have been red carded for his tackle in the first half? Do you think Kirk Broadfoot's tackle was worse than Scott Brown's? This was on Greg Taylor, wasn't it?
Yes.
The Scott Brown?
In the first half.
Yeah, for me, I totally agree across the board in terms of Kirk Broadfoot. I thought it was a reckless challenge and he was lunging. He was never getting to the ball. Scott Brown has kind of slid tackle and caught him at the back of the calf area, just above the ankle. For me, if he had given a red, I wouldn't have had any objections, because he's late, he's nowhere near the ball. The yellow card, I actually see this quite often with Scott Brown. He manages just to kind of get that borderline between yellow and red, and and most times he seems to get the benefit of the doubt. But you know, the referee hasn't given it, Gordon. There'll be a clamour now, and I think we're in a place now. We're actually looking at every single tackle. And when you look at it slowed down as well, not just Scott Brown's, but every tackle, it looks dangerous. People are clamouring for reds all over the place. You know, and we need to be careful, because there's going to be tackles you think to yourself, they're kind of borderline, and we're all getting over the top. But because of the level of inconsistency, as you've seen yesterday, you see Scott Brown getting away with it. Kirk Broadfoot gets a red.
Was Broadfoot's worse is what Brian was asking?
For me it was, yeah. Because the thing is, he's actually high. He's maybe about 3 or 4 feet. He's coming down where Scott Brown's just kind of leaving his leg there, and he's caught him a lot higher.
In a season where we have gone for referees big time, and said that the standards have declined dramatically. I thought Bobby Madden had a very good game yesterday. The one grey area for me was Scott Brown's tackle on Greg Taylor. I thought it was a red card. And I would also say that if Celtic supporters saw that tackle on Scott Brown, then they would be looking for a red card.
Macca's a Celtic fan from Airdrie. Hi, Macca.
Hey, I was phoned up. I had one point, but I've actually got two now.
All right, go for it.
First point is Celtic had all these injuries at the start of the season. We were struggling, weren't they picking up points, were struggling away from home, picking up points and that. Look where we are now. 8 points clear. Rangers are only 2 points better off than they were last year under Senior Pedro. So Stevie G's on a slippy, Jake is on a slippy nail, and the Celtic are flying.
Well, for Steven Gerrard,
a sugarly peg, I think, is what we were after.
Whether it's a sugarly nail, peg, whatever it's on, Steven Gerrard has not had as great an impact on Rangers as the fans would have hoped that he would have had.
In the league, certainly.
Yes. So it's a big, big week for Rangers because they've got Kilmarnock in the cup replay. It's their good fortune that Morelos can come back and play in that game because they really need to get through that. For Rangers to go out of the cup on Wednesday night, it would be close to the end of their season because, as I say, the 8 point gap that Celtic have over them plus the goal difference that's 11 better, that would take some catching. So they have to be very, very careful. I understand that also it's a characteristic of Scottish football that you can't just celebrate your own team's accomplishment. You've always got to look at the rivals and getting a word in about them. So, you know, Steven Gerrard, there's no danger of Steven Gerrard losing his job, but it's getting progressively difficult for Rangers now because if Celtic win the title, go on to 8 in a row, they're 2 away from the Holy Grail. And they've already spent a lot of money this season, Rangers. They would need to spend even more money in the summer to stop it being 9 in a row.
Yeah, it's an interesting point Micah makes. I think when you look at some of the injuries that Celtic have had, it just reinforces the squad of players that they have at their disposal. For me, Rangers don't have that strength and depth. As an example of that, when you lose your main striker, you know, you're looking for other players to step up to the mark. When you look at Celtic, for example, you look at some of the players, Sinclair, Forrest, Edward, Burke's come in on loan, Weir's come in. So there's like an array of options for Brendan Rodgers when he needs to kind of shake it up. I don't think Rangers have that. And I think this is just a building process for Rangers. But I agree with you in terms of the magnitude of Wednesday. Doesn't get any higher for Steven Gerrard and Rangers.
Marco, we're a bit pushed for time, so can you make your second point very quickly if you can?
It was really just what Hugh said at the start of the show about sectarian singing. Hugh, you never bring it up any other week. It shouldn't have been going on, but you never bring it up any other week.
Listen, I'm fed up with this. I said at the start of the programme, I abhor antisocial behaviour, whether it's in the form of sectarian singing or throwing coins at players. I abhor it on a universal basis. Let it be absolutely understood. I abhor it if it comes from Celtic supporters, Rangers supporters, anybody's supporters. I abhor antisocial behaviour. It goes on. It is football's cross to bear. I abhor it on all fronts. Do you understand me?
0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, let's hear from you because we're about to hear from Steven Gerrard. So you tell us, where did it go wrong at the weekend and what does that mean for your ambitions this season? Steven Gerrard coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points with you on the phones and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. So let's go a bit further back to Saturday, where Steven Gerrard told his Rangers players to forget about any title talk if they continue to perform like they did against St Johnstone. The Rangers boss says the performance was nowhere near good enough and says he struggled to find any positives at all.
I'd like to pay my respects to St Johnstone and Tommy. I thought their game plan worked very well. They could have actually went away with more. I think Wes has helped us get a point, really. But across the board today, nowhere near good enough. I've been seduced in this week because the players have looked like they were looking forward to playing in front of Ibrox. We knew Tommy how he was going to set up. That didn't disappoint us. You know, organised mid to low block, and basically they offer you a challenge of come on then, what have you got? Come and beat us. And we didn't have enough all over the pitch today to find the answers to the challenge. And that's very concerning for me. We lack leadership. I'm struggling to find any positives from it really. So yeah, that's where we are right now. Forget titles and forget closing gaps. The reality is, if you perform like that across the board in front of 50,000 people, there's your evidence. You don't need me to say this, that and the other. If you've got a group of lads out there and they give you that when they've got a chance to close it to 3 points, and you've got Aberdeen and Kilmarnock and the rest, Breeden Danielich, that's not what is required at Rangers when you've got a chance to close the gap. It's miles away from it.
Strong words from the Rangers manager, but do you agree? 0141 951 1025. Robert's a Rangers fan from Newlands. Hi, Robert.
Evening, panel. Well, the term I'm going to use is actions speak louder than words. Although I agree with what the manager's saying, and the performance on Saturday was hopeless, my dad and I left Ibrox yesterday very disgruntled and not happy at all. We pay a lot of money to go and watch Rangers, home and away and abroad, and that's the return of my investment, and I'm not a happy camper at all. However, I'm going to go back to my phrase, actions speak louder than words. Stephen Gerrard, you can say anything you want, mate. It doesn't replicate what you say on the park. Now, I understand that we've had a few notable absentees from our team, including McGregor and Alfredo Morelos, but there's 11 players on that park that should do a turn as well. You can't just rely on one player. You've got a world-class striker there in the fold, and you've got Stephen Davis, who's got more experience than half of the players in the park, and that is something I just cannot accept as a performance like that. We had a chance and an opportunity to put pressure on the leader, Celtic, because they had a difficult game yesterday at Kilmarnock, and it proved to be difficult by clinching a goal late on. However, if we have won that game, I could have been a happy guy all weekend. Potentially the results would have turned different. Stephen, but it's just not on. Stephen, so I think it's time to wake up and smell the coffee.
Stephen Gerrard's remarks are more or less what you're saying. That's why he was so candid. He said if that's what players deliver, when they understand the magnitude of the occasion, they're playing in front of 50,000 supporters, then he, as the manager, can't accept it, can't understand it. So he's agreeing with you.
Alex, the obvious one is the absence of Alfredo Morelos, yeah, because that's two games in a row Rangers haven't scored. He can come in and play in the cup replay against Kilmarnock. I'm sure there's more to it than just him.
Yep.
So what? Where's it gone wrong at the weekend?
For me, the system's an issue, particularly when you have Defoe up front, Gordon, because having seen Jermaine Defoe and played against him in England, he needs someone to play off. So he can play down the sides. He's not a similar player to Morelos. So the system was an issue for me at the weekend as well. They have the low block. So for me, it would have been more suited if Rangers started to maybe play with two up front. It would have given their back four a lot more problems and asked more questions of them. When you're delivering balls for the wider area with Kent and Candace, unfortunately there was too many players off form. Robert's absolutely right, as is Stephen Gerrard, because you're looking for someone to step up. Now, you don't actually have to play well all the time. You're just looking for someone to create something, or, as is yesterday, was a deflected goal. You just have to find a way to win a game, Gordon. And having seen Rangers for years under Walter Smith, there's games that they've huffed and puffed but managed to get the result. Now, it goes back to that mentality. There's been games over the course of this season, as an example, when you go top of the league. So you then start to say, there's the first time in a long time Rangers have been top of the league at that particular time in the season. The two games after that, Aberdeen they lose to, and then they draw up at Dundee. They have another opportunity after the Old Firm game. Everybody's raving. Winter break, and then they come back and lose to Kilmarnock. Saturday gone, they then have an opportunity, Gordon, to put pressure on Celtic. Everybody knows how difficult it is to go to Kilmarnock, and they can't manage to do that. So for me, Stephen Gerrard is absolutely spot on. You're looking for leaders and you're looking for somebody to step up to the plate.
Okay, how much responsibility does he as the manager have to take then? Because you mentioned the system. Now, obviously, he picks the system.
Yep.
And if you're looking for players to step up, then, well, I mean, he picks them and he signed some of them.
You cannot exclude the manager from responsibility. We'd all been a Celtic supporter, Macaron, earlier on, going, oh, he's on a shaky nail, a shaky peg. So what I'm saying is, there's people coming on here and saying, and I think Mac has just said there as well, the manager has to take, words are hollow. So Steven Gerrard has to take responsibility. I think there was about six players that he'd signed, started at the weekend, five or six players. So, you know, he's part of this as well. It can't just deflect pressure onto the players. Mm-hmm. So it's collectively, they have to find, the coaching staff and the players have to find a way. Because if it, Gordon, see come Wednesday night, if they don't get a result, pressure. Oof.
Robert, give me a bit of an insight into how you felt about the title race before the weekend. Did you think Rangers had a chance of winning? Do you still think they do? Was that derailed on Saturday? Give us your overall thoughts over the last couple of days.
Well, although I'm a Rangers fan, I'm also quite realistic, and I don't think that Rangers had the squad depth to compete with Celtic, and the longevity is clearly not. Our consistency levels have not been great at all. So in that sense, no. But I felt that we could have at least closed the gap to under 5 points. I think it's just not on. I think that we've thrown away a lot of chances. We drew 7 times this season in the league. I mean, that is, although we're not losing, it's great, but other teams are winning and we're not, and we should be. We're coming away feeling unsatisfied in our work. That game on Saturday, we actually should have lost that game if you think about it, because St John's had 2 terrific chances, a great save from Fotheringham and unlucky crossbar with a great chip.
And
but
that's not enough
to win.
That's why I say that the pressure mounts, because I believe Rangers have spent in the region of £12 million assembling this squad that Steven Gerrard has. Now, if Celtic go on and make it 8 in a row, then the tension rises in the summertime. Rangers have to go in again, because if those who have been found wanting can't do it, others will need to be brought in and more money will need to be spent, and it becomes an increasing worry for Rangers, and it increases the scrutiny that the manager's under.
Still plenty of positivity on Twitter. Greg says, I can remember Gerrard's Liverpool got written off at half time in the Champions League final. He'll fight to the end. There are plenty of points left up for grabs. Lots of more twists and turns to come. Let's hear from Scott, who's also a Rangers fan, from Kirkintilloch. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good evening, panel. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
It was more a point to Alex. I think Alex might remember maybe about 2 months ago, maybe less than that, I was on asking him about in training, what do the football players do, because I don't see Rangers shooting much in sight. In fact, we don't score many goals apart from Morelis scoring against Aberdeen with his left foot. I don't remember one goal bar that we've scored outside the box. I just wanted to ask Alec.
Yeah.
Alec, what chance have we really got with all the midfielders that we've got in that team that can't even score from outside the box? As professional football players, I'm just astonished that as professional football players that play in the midfield, you can't just keep relying on Alfredo Morelos. His goals are inside the box. You need the midfielders to score outside the box, and it's not happening. I'm wondering, why is that not happening?
I've got to be honest with you. As a former player myself, I used to shoot at will from outside the box. Obviously, when I go to Rangers, it was a different ball game because I was sitting a lot more deeper. But when I look at the Celtic midfielders, they're always looking to have a pop. McGregor, Christie, Brown's managed to score a couple in the last count. You've got Nsham, Rogic. So you're absolutely right. For me, Rangers are pedestrian at times. Steven Gerrard spoke earlier on about the low block, mid to low block. So you know, you've got to be able to shoot for distance, because what will happen there is it'll entice people to come out and try and close you down, and then you can start popping the ball in about, giving goes around about the box. And by not doing that, they're very predictable. So, but I totally agree with you 100%. I feel as if the Rangers midfield can shoot more from distance, because when you look at the actual overall goals from the edge of the box, they're pretty much non-existent. So you definitely have a point, Scott.
Yeah, thanks
for that. Scott, I mean, in terms of, let's elaborate on that a little bit, because shooting from outside the box is one thing. Do you feel, because this is something we hear on the phones quite a lot, is there a dimension missing from the Rangers midfield? We keep hearing that, you know, lots of them are quite similar. Is that fair?
No, but I think it's the style of play we're playing. I've watched quite a lot of YouTube clips with Rangers in training. I watch them in football games, and we just seem to play the exact same way. It's Kent and Candace. It's just in the wings. Half the time, these guys, you know, Kent's quality, Candace isn't the quality. His contribution to crossing balls in is so poor. He crosses 9 balls in, and he's lucky if one goes to the player it's meant to be going to. And I'm just disappointed that we just play the same way. I never see us try to play through the middle, or we'll score outside the box. Teams even know how to play against us now. But at the same point, I'm not too disappointed. Rangers are probably where I expected them to be, so I'm not one of these guys that's going to hyperventilate, because Celtic will win the league again this year. Just need to get a reality check. They've got better quality players than we've got. Until we get better quality players, that's when we'll get a challenge at, I believe.
Scott, you're absolutely right. I speak to Hugh quite often on the way back. So if you go back to the start of this season, Rangers were in disarray. When you look at with the personnel they had, the amount of players that went out and the amount of players that came in, and then think where Celtic were on the back of two trebles. So you if you're doing a barometer where Celtic are and Rangers, the building blocks to get to where Celtic are, and plus you take into account the finances they have, plus the youth setup, because three youth products are really contributing on a regular basis for Celtic. So it will take time, and it's just a case of Rangers trying to kind of bridge that gap in terms of quality, and then try and kind of claw that back over a period of time. You know, but that doesn't just happen over 6, 7, 8 months.
You know, Alec, on December 29, when Rangers beat Celtic, they were level on points.
Yeah.
You know, Celtic had the game in hand. However, I just wonder if it's about concentration, focus,
mentality, Hugh, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because the same players, the Daniel Candiases of this world and Kent, whoever, at the start of the season, when Rangers were getting reasonable results in Europe, in fact, good result in Europe, and took Celtic to December 29 and were on the same number of points as Celtic, people were thinking that Rangers had turned a significant corner, and they've lost direction since then. And I wonder how much of that is also down to mentality.
Scott McFarlane echoes something that Steven Gerrard says on Twitter. He says, zero leadership, zero leaders on the park. Take the team of 93 that effectively got to the semis of the Champions League. Just a solid team of leaders that took responsibility, played for each other and the jersey. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what I'm saying is it's something you only hear when things aren't going well. You know, it's one of those that goes hand in hand. Like I say, I'm not saying it's wrong. Talk to me a bit more about that, Alex. How easy is that to find? Who are the players that should be leading? Where is the problem? Because there are a few people accusing the Rangers team of that.
Of lacking it?
Yes.
Well, you're looking... Listen, I know the Rangers fans will know, like me saying that, but you look at Scott Brown when Celtic are labouring. He manages to rally them in some way, and whether that's just smashing someone, whether it's just going to boot people, trying to get them going in a different way. I remember talking to John Brown years ago, and he says, listen, Gascoigne, Loudrop, all these guys get lauded. He says, the main men were McCall and Ian Ferguson to the world, because see, when it came to the nitty gritty and it's not really going well and they're not producing, you need somebody to step up to the plate. And that's a prime example of that.
If they're not there, then the Rangers supporters will start to seriously look at Steven Gerrard's signings.
Yeah, because I'd imagine Stephen Davis was signed with that quality in mind.
Yeah. So that at the end of the season, if Celtic have won the title, the signings will be assessed, and I repeat, Rangers will need to go and get more players because the tension will have been ratcheted up.
Right, 0141 951 1025. Willie's a Rangers fan in Easterhouse, and we're going to speak to him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Give us a call or tweet us at Clyde SSB. I must say, Alex Ray, that break came at the right time, because something's been annoying me about you since the start of the show. More than usual, I should say, that you've got...
I can't believe you never spotted it, Hugo.
He's got new glasses on tonight, and I was looking at him as he was ranting about Rangers a minute ago. I was looking at him and thinking, I need to tell him he's still got a sticker on the front, right in the middle, on one of the lenses.
Brand new, Hugh.
So,
what can I say?
I don't know how you didn't see
off.
It. But there we go. So we managed to get that cleared up during the break. 0141 951 1025. Willie's a Rangers fan from Easterhouse. Hi, Willie.
Hello there, guys. We've chatted in the paper, talking with Steven Gerrard, slagging off Rugby Park. I know it's called the Plastic Park, but Rangers have lost more points at Ibrox than anywhere else. They can only get 6 points at Ibrox, 6 points at Rugby Park, rather. They've lost numerous points at Ibrox. You like the end? Who's in order first?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about arithmetic, it's obviously not quite true. I think Rangers have dropped, is it 9 points at home this season, is that right? And I think it's 17 away. So 36, clearly it is, it's on the road where most of the problems are happening. But that's why results like Saturday are that bit more disappointing to the Rangers team. Every now and then, if you go on the road and you go to a difficult venue, things don't quite go your way, you think, right, okay, we get out with a point there, difficult place to go. But if you're at home against St Johnstone, with no disrespect to them, it's obviously a fixture that you're expected to at least win, or certainly do more than Rangers did in front of goal.
If you have any aspirations of winning a league, Gordon, you must win games like that at the weekend. With the greatest respect to St Johnstone, I said before the kick-off on Saturday, I said to Hugh and Mark Wilson, I says this will be a difficult encounter. Stevie Clark gets them very Tommy Wright gets them very well organised. He gets a lot of bodies behind, and you have enough players to go and break and the counter-attack and cause you problems, as happened at the weekend. One of the key things for Rangers is the caller's right in terms of they need to find ways of breaking down teams at home who defend deep, because if you don't do that, then you don't get that impetus, you don't get the crowd behind you as well, and then it becomes a chore. And that's where Rangers are actually struggling at the moment.
I'll go back to the thing about mentality. I remember the night on which Aberdeen went to Ibrox and Celtic went to Motherwell, same night, and Celtic dropped 2 points at Motherwell, and very clumsily dropped 2 points because they were a goal up, missed a penalty, and were caught out at the death. On the same night, Rangers lost 1-0 to Aberdeen at Ibrox. So there's something that comes over them when they're probably most expected to win, they fail to deliver.
Sure, that was on the back of the Hearts victory when Rangers went to Tynecastle and won 2-1. I think they went top of the league that Sunday. And as you rightly said, you're looking for that kind of kick, you know, that kind of momentum to keep it going. And as an example, when you look at a team like Motherwell, 6 in the bounds in the league, Rangers haven't managed to get anywhere near that. So there's something wrong consistent wise.
Willie, where did it go wrong at the weekend for you, Willie?
Couldn't beat St Johnstone again. No, again, Ibrox again. They always seem to play better when they're on TV, I think. They like being TV stars.
Well, that didn't apply the previous Saturday night when they played Rugby Park, and it was a goalless draw in the cup with Kilmarnock. That's why it's a replay. So, you know, it's not necessarily the case they do better on the telly.
Yeah, but I think, Willie did have a kind of tongue-in-cheek element to that. But is it a different challenge, Alex, when it's a bit more of a bread-and-butter fixture? Like we say, Saturday, 3 o'clock, at home against a mid-table side. They're every bit as important because they're worth the same.
They're equally as important, Gordon. You have to win, and you have to put pressure on your rivals, all the teams round about you, because if you don't, Hugh's term is, you open the door for them to march through. And that's the thing that we have been clamouring for a long time, whereas whoever plays in the Saturday, if they can apply pressure onto their rivals, then you get that kind of competitive element. And if you can't do that, then ultimately you wind up with 8 points a lead. So Rangers need to actually get this kind of, Steven Gerrard says, they need to find ways of winning games ugly. It can't be just passing teams to death. You have to find another way and mix it up as well, in terms of maybe throwing two players up top from the start.
Yeah, and I mean, Hugh, this is what it happens in Scottish football. It's not just Scottish football now, it's modern football. You're looking for sort of instant results. People don't get time. You always hear that phrase, hit the ground running. And that's when the January signings come into focus, particularly guys like Stephen Davis. Most of the Rangers fans that call us up or tweet in say that they're not seeing yet what they thought they would. But the problem is you don't really get that time.
No. Fans are looking for instant gratification. They thought that Jermaine Defoe would score every time he went onto the park. He hasn't. They assumed that Stephen Davis would look like the Stephen Davis who used to be there before. He hasn't so far. So that's why I say the manager's signings, everything will come under scrutiny and analysis if Celtic go on and win the title. And then if Celtic have won the title, the manager will need to go again. Money will need to be found again, because the tension will have risen.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, it's part of the modern day game where you recycle players. You, the ones that haven't stood up, you know, some of the lone players will go back to their normal clubs. You have other targets in mind. And we were actually just talking during the break there, when you look at Celtic's recruitment in terms of loan deals, Benkovic, 11 million. Burke, 12 million. Toyan at right back, 6 million. So, you know, when you look at Rangers, some of the players they've got, Kent's been a standout for me. He's really good. You know, no the same value, market value. But then you look at guys like Ajaria, goes back, goes missing. So it's about trying to attract that type of player as well, Hugh, because that kind of level of quality can make a difference.
It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. On Twitter we are at ClydeSSB. Let's squeeze in another call, shall we, before we go to the news. Paul is a Kilmarnock fan from Mulgay. Hi Paul.
Hi there. Hi panel. Just a quick thing, I don't know if the TV actually showed this instance at all, but after Scott Brown's celebrations and the pitch invasion, one fan in particular ran to the middle of the park and started getting selfies taken with individual Celtic players who actually welcomed them, with the exception of Derek Boata, who actually pushed the phone out of his hand. Now, what sort of example are Celtic players setting if they're allowing fans to run into the park and actually pose for selfies with them during a match? Not after the match, but during a match. I mean, what do we put this down to? Boisterousness? I take to think that's the case, because the Russian sports minister put hooliganism down to boisterousness. But I'd like to know what the panel's thoughts on this are.
Well, first of all,
before we go, let's probably not liken hooliganism to selfie taking. That's just a little bit of perspective. Yeah, but what about Paul's general point?
First of all, it wasn't shown on television, so Paul's an eyewitness and he's given us his account. However, what's the player or players to do? Fan comes on, the place is bedlam, and you're asking a player to size up every situation and say, well, no, I'll dismiss this supporter. Sometimes it's better just to have the photograph taken in a second and off they go. I don't think you can blame the players. As Gordon says, you can't equate it with hooliganism. You know, it's, yes, they're overexcited and they've come on. I understand that from what I read this morning, that a supporter had a go at Kilmarnock Stephen O'Donnell, who, let it be said, started his career at Celtic. So, as I say, the place was bedlam. And I wouldn't blame the Celtic supporters, and I don't blame the Celtic players, rather. And I don't blame Boyata if he thought that in the heat of the moment he still wasn't interested. You're asking players in a chaotic situation to deal with a difficult situation.
Paul?
I just think, I'm sorry, I guess I need a way out. You know, we're talking about this during the match, and it's completely utterly disrespectful. I mean, to say that, you know, you're asking players to deal with a situation like that and to say it's not their fault simply just gives an open season to every single match. At the end of a game or during a game, Celtic fans can run on and get selfies taken. That's totally acceptable. It's not acceptable. And the players have a responsibility to their club, but to the opposing team too. That was what happened, was totally, utterly disrespectful. I praise Derek Boyata for his actions in pushing the fans' phone away. But I think that by this time, I think the fan had already taken five or six different photographs with Celtic players during a match. And irrespective of the result, irrespective even if they won the title, I think it's totally, utterly...
Are you telling me...
ridiculous.
Are you telling me that the ball was in play and the match was going on?
No, I think it was during the celebrations of the goal Paul was saying.
This was before the kick-off.
Yes, but you've used
the goal.
Just for clarification, you just said...
The game was in play.
The game was in play.
Well, you know what Paul means? It was before the full-time whistle. That's what he's trying to say. It wasn't after the game.
Yeah, but I need to know if the ball was in play.
Well, no, it was during the goal celebration. He said that.
Right, well, anyway, he's had 24 hours to get his thoughts in order and to state his case. I'm saying that the players have less than 24 seconds in which to sum all of this up. So I don't believe that they were trying to be disrespectful. They're simply caught up in mayhem, and whether it's Celtic players or anybody else's players, it's difficult for players sometimes caught up in mayhem like that.
That's the first time I've actually ever heard of that. I'm actually surprised.
No selfies in your day, that's why.
Well, I'm just even talking about now watching football, Gordon. I've never actually seen, I think there was a young kid come on, maybe with Neymar or one of the Ronaldo, and they took a picture. But other than that, I've never actually seen that.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit, your chance to come on, take on Hugh Cavins or Alex Ray and win yourself a signed ball. Now, as is often the case, we sometimes throw in something a bit extra, so just for getting through, Even if you don't get any questions right, just for getting through on the phones, we're giving you a pair of tickets to an event at the on the 29th of March right here in Glasgow. It's an evening with John Gregg and Richard Goff. So I'm sure that's going to appeal to you Rangers fans. And if you're not a Rangers fan, you can either go along or you can give the tickets away. It doesn't really matter. 01419511025. Your chance to play Beat the Pundit. You have to be quick because you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here looking back on the weekend's big talking points. Most of the show so far been dominated by Rugby Park yesterday and Ibrox on Saturday. If there's anything else on your mind, or if you want to keep elaborating on those, give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Now here's a question for you. I'm sure you've all seen the footage from Fir Park yesterday. Motherwell snatching a win against Hearts in dramatic fashion. It got us thinking, as always. We're looking for your worst goalkeeping howlers of all time. My apologies to Colin Doyle. I think we all agree that he would qualify. So with that as our starter, give us your goalkeeping howlers, please. And we'll get to that next.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Before that, Beat the Pundit time. Hugh and Alex are ready. One of them is up against Robbie, who's a Rangers fan from Irvine. How are you tonight, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all. You fancy your chances against these two?
I'll try my best.
Have you ever played before?
I've been beaten by Hugh Keevans and I beat Mark Wilson once.
All right, okay, a bit of a mixed bag then. Let's see how you get on tonight. And remember, Robbie, just for getting through, just for getting on the line, you've won yourself a pair of tickets to an event with John Gregg and Richard Goff at the Doubletree by Hilton right here in Glasgow on the 29th of March. I'm sure there'll be a few stories to be told.
Well, listen, I mean, Hugh knows very well. John Gregg doesn't do a lot of these, so, you know, he's getting on a bit as well. Barcelona captain, and then you've got Richard Goff, you know, title after title.
Great stuff. Well, they're already in the bag, Robbie, but I'm sure you want the prestige of adding the Super Scoreboard sign ball as well. So let's see how you get on. Heads, you're up against Hugh Keevans. Tails, you are taking on Alex Ray. And it is heads. So it's round two for Robbie against Hugh. I will give Hugh something else to listen to, a bit of Clyde 2, and we'll get the clock up and running for Robbie. Robbie, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Hugh. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Who was sent off in yesterday's Celtic win over Kilmarnock for Kilmarnock?
Broadfoot.
Which Asian country did Scotland face at Easter Road in 2015 when Matt Ritchie scored the winner?
Japan.
David Witherspoon signed the contract extension with which club?
St Johnson.
Who was the first Scottish team Abdul Osman played for before joining Partick Thistle?
Hearts.
What nationality is Celtic's Mikael Lustig?
Swedish.
Leo Fazan and David Mitchell are goalkeepers for which Scottish Championship team?
Partick Thistle.
Okie doke. Right, let me bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, are you with us?
I am.
Yeah, you'd taken a bit of a wander there over to the other side of the studio. I don't know why, but here are your questions, shall we?
Okay.
Who was sent off in yesterday's Celtic win over Kilmarnock for Kilmarnock? Which Asian country did Scotland face at Easter Road in 2015 when Matt Ritchie scored the winner?
Japan.
David Witherspoon signed a contract extension with which club?
St Johnstone.
Who was the first Scottish team Abdul Osman played with before joining Partick Thistle?
Hibs.
What nationality is Celtic's Mikael Lustig?
Swede.
Leo Fazan and David Mitchell are goalkeepers for which Scottish Championship team?
Pass.
And what was the final score of Dundee against Livingston, quickly?
2-1 Dundee.
Okay. Robbie, he got through one more question than you. What do you think? How do you think you went?
I think it'll be close, but because you got the last question,
Maybe just pipped you. Let's go through them. The first one was Kirk Broadfoot, who was sent off for Kilmarnock. Which Asian country did Scotland face at Easter Road in 2015 when Matt Ritchie scored the winner? Take a guess, Alex Ray. It was Qatar.
I was just going to say that as well.
I'm sure you were. David Witherspoon signed a contract extension with St Johnstone. You both got that right, so it's 2-2. The first Scottish team that Abdul Osman played with before joining Partick Thistle is a tricky one. Gretna.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. What nationality Celtic's Mikael Lustig? He's Swedish. 3-3. It's quite a tense one, this. Leo Fazan and David Mitchell are both goalkeepers for Falkirk, so neither of you got that right, which means, Robbie, if Hugh gets his last question right, he wins. Simple as that. What was the final score of Dundee-Livingston? It was 2-1 to Dundee. Hugh said 2-1 to Dundee, and Robbie, I'm afraid he has pipped you. A last minute winner for Hugh Keevans.
No, that was a good one.
Good man, thank you good to Bobby and Irvin. And remember, just for getting through, you've won yourself tickets to that event with John Gregg and Richard Goff on the 29th of March anyway. So another victory for you, old fella.
Well,
happy with that?
Yeah, I hope that Robbie enjoys his night at the John Gregg and Richard Goff thing. The old Greggy, we go back a long, long way. Likewise, Richard.
Absolutely. 01419511025. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. So get all your thoughts coming in on the weekend's big talking points. We're still taking more on Celtic's win yesterday. We're still taking more on Rangers' draw with St Johnston. But just looking at that win for Motherwell yesterday, Hugh, the obvious question is goalkeeping howlers. They are brutal if you're the fan of the team who concedes it. And for everyone else, the cause of great amusement. Colin Doyle yesterday must be in a state of serious shock and regret after that one.
You know, players can have an awful day. Outfield players can have an awful day, and no one really remembers too much about it. But Colin Doyle, this will be remembered for a long time to come. It's unfortunate. He had several terrific saves prior to that. If it was going to end in a 1-1 draw, then Colin Doyle would have been largely responsible for that being the case. So I do feel for him. But these fine young men of Motherwell, Alan Campbell, Jake Hasty, David Turnbull, they're putting on something that's extra special here. Six wins on the bounce. Stephen Robinson's chosen the same team to start the match five times in the bounce. How often does that happen? And their next league game is at Celtic Park. And I so look forward to that, because it'll be a wonderful test of the young fella's nerves.
This should be a good topic on Twitter. There's a great response about goalkeeping mistakes. Hugh Moan has sent the one where Shea Given, he puts the ball down and he thinks, I'm just going to take my time and kick it. And Dion Dublin runs from behind him, nips it away. Anthony Gilmore says that Craig Gordon punched one into the net when he played for Hearts at Celtic. Ray Clements let Dalglish's shot through his legs, says Alan Mackey. Arthur Boric and the shot against Hibs, what was the shot known as thereafter?
Oh, the squiggler or
the
something.
The squiggler, sideshow Bob.
John Rankin.
Tony Higgins says that one. So did you? What was the worst you played in or witnessed, Alex? Can you
listen? I put a bet on, I know, and we gambled responsibly years ago, and I was waiting for a coupon, and it was the Italian goalkeeper at Man United. It was Massimo Taibbi. Someone had it for about 40 yards, and he just went to dolly it just to pick it up, Hugh, and it went through his legs.
Yeah.
Done my coupon. Effectively gave up gambling ever since.
So there we go. This was on the back of Motherwell's victory yesterday. Stephen Robinson, full of praise for his youngsters after the late win against Hearts. Jake Hasty and David Turnbull with the goals for the Steelmen. Robinson says it's getting impossible to leave them out the team.
Fantastic. If you want to win a game, great way to win a game. So unfortunate for their goalkeeper, who I thought was outstanding throughout the match, if I'm being honest. You know, made two or three terrific saves when we had great chances. So it's unfortunate, but we'll take it. Probably would have been happy to come away from a draw in the last minute when we scored. But we've earned that. We were positive. We made positive substitutions, and it was two teams trying to win the game.
You couldn't have had two more appropriate scorers in the game.
They've been terrific, the two boys that you mentioned, Alan Campbell as well, and James Scott. We've got a good pedigree of producing these boys, and you know, the two boys that scored today have been excellent over the last 7-8 games, and they need to stay grounded and continue to keep working hard. With Jake, he's slightly different because he's been out on loan, he's been to Airdrie and he's been to Alloa, you know, and he came back a man, and he's a wee bit more robust maybe than some of the younger ones. Alan Campbell was probably a wee bit up and down when he first got on the team. Now he's got that great consistency with him, and David just a very, very good footballer who never seems to fluster. So we have got that level of consistency, but we still have to be careful with them, that we can dip them in and out of certain things. But at the minute, why take people out when they're playing that well?
John's a Motherwell fan in Wishaw. What did you make of it yesterday, John?
I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I loved it. It's a shame about the keeper. Crying shame.
He gets your sympathy, John, even as a Motherwell fan?
Sorry?
He gets your sympathy, even as a Motherwell fan?
I've seen happens like that before, even happened to Motherwell. But what I want to find about is Jake Hasty. I'm actually hope he signs a new contract, because how many young players have we seen from Scotland go down to England and you never hear them again? But up here, he can learn his trade better, then get a big move.
What you can't stop a young man doing is progressing and making a better living. So one day it will happen. Somebody will come in and he'll want to improve his standard of living. He'll want to play, with all respect to Motherwell, at a bigger club. However, I agree with you that at the moment, having been out on loan at a couple of clubs, having gone to Fir Park, back to Fir Park and blossomed, then he should understand that Motherwell were trying to create a pathway for him into first team football in the Premiership, and he's got it now, and he's making a tremendous job of it. but it would be, I think, too early for him to grab the first offer that comes along.
Yeah, Stephen Robinson said yesterday, kind of a joke about it, he said, well, whether he keeps scoring or not doesn't make any difference to us because we can't offer him any more money, but he needs to be playing football, and this is where he's going to do that. Since he came back from Alloa, he's played six times and scored five goals. A couple of them have been spectacular, and you can see why he's getting attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually love the way he drives at people, Gordon. He's got plenty of pace, and Stephen Robinson's right in what he says. He has come back more of a man. He looks more physically stronger. And the goals are obviously the standout, but his overall play causes problems. And but when you look at the production line, young Turnbull is the one that always catches me. Now, I was covering a game at Ibrox a couple of months ago, and I said to you, I says, even though I think it was 7-1, you know, Turnbull still caught my eye because he could manage to manipulate the ball, very comfortable on the ball, and young Campbell brings the endeavour when they speak about him in there, it's in glowing terms, you know, in terms of his professionalism. Mm. So it's great that they're actually developing that with these senior players. My suggestion to Hasty is sit tight, because he's been there for years, Gordon. So the development fee,
I think
fee
he was
well,
9, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got that'll be a hefty development fee for someone taking him on board. So he's only, what, 6-7 games into his first team reign. Mm. It's too early to go down south. Learn your trade here, sign a 2-year contract, and then build up and become more ready for down south.
I think that's where Motherwell will be slightly more relaxed, Hugh Keevans, because as Alex says, they are protected to the tune of more than 300,000, it is, I think, for, because he's been there since he was 9. So even if the contract runs down, he's not going to walk away and then Motherwell are left empty handed.
No, I mean, there's a young boy, McKinstry, at Motherwell, who we believe is going to Leeds United at the end of the season. And, you know, Motherwell are going to get,
if that happens, yeah,
I understand they're going to get £150,000. He's 16, never played for the first team.
Just the way the compensation system works, isn't it?
So, you know, they've got that kind of financial protection there.
Yeah.
But what I love about this lot, they've played 13 away games this season, 7 wins, 6 losses, no draws. They just give it their best shot. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And that's what makes Celtic Park on Sunday, I think, a highly intriguing fixture.
Yes, having said that, Celtic have not dropped any points at all at home.
That makes it even more intriguing.
That'll be intriguing, that's one word for it. John, what have you made of the recent turnaround in performances?
I think Ross has been very brave in bringing the young boys in. But as you've seen the last 6 games, he was correct to do so. He changed the formation, he changed the way they played, and now look at us. 6 wins in a row in the league. Who can complain?
Well, it's interesting because if you go back 6-7 weeks ago, there were people clamouring.
It was the Ross County result, wasn't it?
Yeah,
in the cup.
They were disappointed and they were kind of maybe saying that maybe we were struggling. It just shows you 6-7 games down the line. It's
right. Remember, this is open to everyone because we're looking for your goalkeeping mistakes, howlers, as we like to call them. This is after Colin Doyle yesterday. It was as bad as you'll see, really, isn't it, Hugh? Without being unfair on Colin Doyle. You do have a bit of sympathy because that's the life of a goalkeeper, but it's pretty difficult to sort of figure out how it happened.
Well, exactly. I mean, unfathomable, because he's so assured and the ball looks fairly easy. You know, just gather it into your body and somehow...
It seems to me as if it took a bigger kick than we was anticipating, because he looks as if he's gathering it round about his midriff and it's bounced up by his shoulder. Hugh, I think he's just totally miscalculated it.
But Craig Levine says he was disappointed that they left with no points because of the mistakes that they made. He had no problems with Ben Garuccio's red card. He says you can't get away with leaving the ground when you tackle. Let's hear from the Tynecastle boss at full time.
He's disappointed, as we all are. And he's held his hands up and made a mistake, isn't he? In a game that I felt we were in pretty good control of, and my substitutions and thoughts were mainly about how could we win the game. It's a strange game at times, you know. So I've gone from feeling positive about what we need to do, I felt positive about the control we had in the match, and I've ended up, you know, in a situation where 2 mistakes have cost us the points.
What did you make of the decision, the free kick and the red card that led to it?
25, 30 years ago, you get away with that, no bother. But all the players know that if you leave the ground to tackle, which Ben did, then although he's won the ball and the player wasn't injured. It's just the nature of the game, and it's not a surprise. You know, I looked at it and I thought, no, I'm not criticising the referee at all, because he did leave the ground, and I think everybody knows that that's not acceptable. So I've got to take that on the chin. And then again, you know, Collins made a, you know, from a free kick that was sort of fairly easily saved, he's made an error. So the emotions go from sort of fairly positive to, how the hell did we get beat there?
This is a fascinating one, because that incident, I've seen people say, yeah, it was a free kick and a red card. You've seen people say that it wasn't even a foul. And then you've got Craig Levein, who, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, isn't slow to criticise refs when he feels things have gone against him, especially a last minute winner. And he actually agrees, Craig, if you like, that it was a red card.
Craig acknowledged the 21st century aspect, that now you can't, you just can't. Mm-hmm. But I was watching the game on television, and Gary Locke was commenting, and Gary Locke is my favourite Jambo of all time. He was a terrific player for Hearts. He was a
over Robbo,
a manager.
Robbo Powell.
No, just a Locke, such a great guy. You know, and he was a manager of Hearts, and he wore his heart on his sleeve every day when he played or managed Hearts. And his take on the tackle was, "Game's gone. If that, you know, if you can't get away with that, the game's gone." You know, so I don't think that Gary Locke took into account the 21st century aspect, but the manager, Craig Levein, did. And Ben Garuccio had to go under 2019 rules.
Fair play to Craig Levein. I have to say, it's very refreshing for a manager to come out and say that. Even saying the boys distraught, because as soon as you leave the ground with your both feet up, you're running a risk. And for me, it was a red.
On the back of that Colin Doyle mistake, though, we're looking for your goalkeeping mistakes, memorable ones. Brian Elder says Stuart Kennedy, England against Scotland. Oh, yeah. Regan Stevenson says Karius against Gareth Bale in the Champions League final last year. Remember that?
Yes.
Not as if it was a wee, you know, small friendly game that no one's going to notice. What about Colin and Paisley? I think he's got one on the line. Hi, Colin.
Hi there, guys.
Hello. Goalkeeping howlers, Colin. What springs to mind?
In a positive note, it was a great result, but it was the old Ray Clements, Wembley. How can that not be the number one goalkeeping howler from a positive point of view, from a Scottish perspective?
You must remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. All the more so because everyone at that time made a career down south out of laughing at Scottish goalkeepers.
Now, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, as the years
Where did that come from?
Probably Ruffy had something to do with it from time to time. And, you know, other goalkeeping mistakes had been made, and Scottish goalkeepers were supposed to be a laughing stock. Now we're blessed with so many good goalkeepers. So the Ray Clements moment was a great one for fans to gloat over.
Absolutely. Describe fans it, of a certain age.
Yeah, describe it, Colin, for anyone who maybe hasn't seen it.
It's a bit foggy now. It was a few years ago, but basically it kind of went down to try and scoop the ball up.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of bounced right through his legs.
Yeah, to be fair to Ray Clements, as you remember, Colin, Ray Clements was an outstanding goalkeeper. He really was a terrific goalkeeper, which made the mistake all the more stunning. But it didn't stop Kenny Dalglish getting away with a grin as wide as Sucky Hall Street.
As a player, Alex, if the keeper chucks one in, do you still celebrate it like it ends up in the top corner, or is there a bit of sheepishness about the whole thing?
I remember scoring against David James for about 30 yards, and I'm not sure how it managed to go over the line, Gordon, and it just kind of trundled past him, and he actually dived beyond the ball and went underneath him, and believe me, you do celebrate.
I knew you would, but I'm wondering about anyone else.
Oh,
right?
You take it, don't you?
Thank you to Colin and Paisley. Keep your goalkeeping howlers coming, and remember, we can still go back and look at the other weekend's big talking points, so get the calls in and the tweets. And what a full-time teaser we have
for you to get
the pen and paper ready. The question is coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Rare here, ready to take your calls and receive your tweets on the subject of dodgy goalkeeping after Colin Doyle at Fir Park yesterday. Here's one I know you'll remember, Hugh, because you were there and I was with you.
Yes.
He says, Cammy Bell, goalkeeping howler, same stadium, same goal. The playoff.
Oh,
Motherwell
yes.
against Rangers. Remember it?
Yes.
That was quite something. The ball just seemed to be in the air for an eternity. Alex Ray has got a look in his face, punched, which makes me think that he's tried to forget about it.
Just getting fresh in my mind.
And he punched it sort of into the back of the net, didn't he? So
he didn't get any purchase on it, did he?
He did not. Keep your goalkeeping howlers coming. We're on the phone, so 1419511025. Got a good question for you on the teaser. Listen up, because I say this every night, because I mean it. What is an absolute certainty is that you get the answers before these two do. So 11 managers in England's League One or above who have played in Scotland. So 11,
Jack Ross.
11 managers currently in England's League One or above who have played in Scotland. Now this has been sent in by Robert McLean. Fulltime@Clyde1.com is where he sent it, so that's where you need to fire your questions if you've got any. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. Jack Ross,
so
is
managers of League One
or above.
Is Stephen Presley?
No.
Yeah.
Who does he manage?
Carlisle.
What league are they in?
Two.
So no then. Jack Ross, Sunderland manager, League One, played for Clyde, Falkirk, St Mirren, and so on. So you've got one. You've got Jack Ross.
Yes. Hopkin.
David Hopkin.
Yep, Hoppy.
Is the manager of?
Bradford.
And played for?
Morton.
Yes. So that's 2 of 11.
Good question, this.
Decent, isn't it? I thought it'd be up your street as well, because you like the English lower leagues.
Paul Lambert.
Great shout, Shug.
Well done, Hugh. You've eventually
play for?
Arrived at the party. Alright, that's 3 down, another 8 to go. 11 managers in England's League One or above who've played in Scotland at some point in their career.
Guys, Tony Mowbray.
Yes, that's 4. We'll leave it there for the meantime. Tony Mowbray, Blackburn manager, played for Celtic. Ipswich manager Paul Lambert, played for St Mirren, Motherwell, Celtic. Bradford manager David Hopkins, played for Morton. And we've got Jack Ross as well. So we've got another, what did I say, 7 to go now?
Seven
is that
to
right?
Go, yes.
7 to go. 0141 951 1025. Gordon's a Celtic fan in Kilmacombe. Hi Gordon.
Good evening, panel. How you doing? Okay?
Yeah, good, thanks. Gordon, what's your point tonight?
Just a wee general thing though. I mean, it's not a, I just think, I don't know where we're going this season. Right from the start, I just, it's and rightly so, some of the points that you pointed out, but I just think everything's all quite negative. No, we seem to be talking about games, no, like, right, there was a score, no, Celtic go and get 8 points ahead, which is good. And I think unless you, like tonight, unless you missed a couple of minutes, if you or whoever's on and they talk about, no, the last couple of games, whatever it is, then you forget that there's actual football getting played. It just seems to be, no, talking about points, and some of the points are valid, no, I mean, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't discard them, but I just feel, and I don't know if it's maybe the start of the season, I can't remember if it was McGregor or get a couple of memory off the ball incident, a kick out or something, or Morel, I can't remember what it was, and then they get not founded, so it gets thrown out kind of thing. And I think some of the, I don't know, maybe the panels maybe said they've kind of set a precedent, SFA or whoever it was, whoever does it, that from now on everything's going to get reviewed. And I've got a friend down south who loves listening to the podcast, you know, the next night or a couple of nights later. And he said, unless you miss the start, you know, that's all it's about now. It's kind of negative. He's actually getting kind of fed up listening to it now, because he said it was always good. He's always talking about the football, about the players, who's playing good and who's... But it just seems to be... I don't know.
Yeah, listen, Hugh, I think Gordon ultimately has got a bit of a point. The reason that people then... You know, they sort of jump on it, because if it's a referee 1 week and you talk about it, the next week comes around and then there's another thing, and then you get fans of that club saying, well, you know, we were wronged and you better give this the same amount of coverage as it got last week, and it just sort of snowballs, because the disciplinary system is the hot topic recently. Yeah. Rangers, in fact, have come out again today. They issued a statement last week saying they want a review of it. Stuart Robertson's now vocalised that on Rangers' official media channels. So I'm not saying Gordon's wrong, but I'm not sure where it ends. I'm not sure how we get back from it.
Yeah, it's the word. Well, Gordon can help. Gordon can come on and say, listen, never mind all that stuff, what about this? And talk about Celtic and what happened yesterday or whatever. But it is the modern day world, and you know, we have a phrase that's entered the football lexicon, which is trial by sports scene, for example. You know, managers, players, fans complaining that everything is being judged on television highlights, which is not necessarily the case. But yes, we have got trapped in, was that a red card or a yellow card? And all of the other nonsense that goes on at football matches. However, we are trying our best. We've devoted time to Motherwell and these young men who are at the moment ripping up trees and looking forward to the game against Celtic on Sunday. What an entertaining fixture it promises to be. We're trying. It's the old Godfather line. We every time we think we're out, we get drawn back into it.
Yeah, and I think yeah, and you go, Gordon.
Well, it's not a thing at the panel either. No, I'm not complaining about you guys, but it is a topic. But and you only take the phone calls that come in. I can understand that, but I just think we're missing the point. No, I mean it used to be great talking about the games. No, I mean and like if you watch some of the sports scene or the BBC sport, whatever's on telly, they're all talking about the football. And I know they talk about instances, but I just feel as if we're just talking about, as Hugh said, you done this last week, how are you getting away with this?
Gordon, it's about balance, you know, Gordon. We're trying to get balance, and I think that's important to try and remember. You know, earlier on we're actually talking about the boy Turnbull, we're talking about Hattie scoring an unbelievable goal, you're talking about players standing up to it, you're talking about Scott Brown scoring a winner at the celebration.
But to be fair, because I don't really take it as a criticism, I think Gordon's right.
Absolutely.
Because we actually spoke about it at one of the breaks. It's almost like the attitude of not all, but some football fans it's just changed now. Whereas a part of your Sunday morning or a part of your Monday morning is not only about reveling in what your own team did. Oh. It's about looking to make sure that your rival didn't get away with something that your team got pulled up for the previous week.
It's a social media phenomenon for me. You know, there's an absolute dedication to getting everyone into trouble. As many people into trouble as you possibly can. If Celtic do one thing, the Rangers fans do another. And if Rangers do this, the Celtic fans complain. And so, it never, ever ends. But as I say, for example, Dundee Livingston. Now, that's about as innocuous as it gets. Or Livingston Dundee, I should say more correctly. The topic of conversation there is, should Stephen Lawless have been booked or should he have been given a penalty? And did that penalty cost Livingston the game? Or the failure to award the penalty cost Livingston the game.
All right then, on that one, let's practice what we're preaching. What about that free kick from Scott Wright to win it?
Yeah,
because that was stunning, wasn't it?
For me, it was one of the best free kicks we'll see all season. I said to the guys during the last break, I said the keeper was diving when the ball was on its way back out, and to generate that much accuracy and power here is unbelievable. He's making a massive contribution to Dundee so far.
And to be honest, I thought it was a penalty for Livingston, and the referee got it wrong. But so there you are. But you know, Gordon makes a perfectly valid point. Gordon McCullough, perfectly valid point. But if we don't focus on the main topics of conversation arising from the weekend involving Celtic and Rangers, we are accused on social media of having an agenda, biased. We all know where you're coming from, and so on and so forth. It's the world we live in. We didn't make it, we just live in it.
Gordon, talk to us about football then. What do you make of your own team at the moment, Celtic? 8 points clear. Is that gap too big? Oh, and he's gone.
Voltage, yeah. He's away more on social media.
He actually disappeared right at the crucial moment. I thought we were going to get away from it. We had come full circle. We were going to do what Gordon wanted.
You've got to have a better attention span than that.
Well, listen, maybe it was technical difficulties. I don't mind that at all. At Clyde SSB, we are still talking about your goalkeeping howlers. Gaz says McGregor when El Kadouri scored at Ibrox. Do you remember that one, Hugh? I think he always becomes a teaser answer. Kadouri, doesn't he? It's one of those, oh, I forgot about him. What else? We've got a few throwing some answers in the teaser. Well done to Peter Gray. He's got a few. Thomas has got a couple as well. David, yeah, lots of good answers.
Did you ever read
coming in?
In your football history books when you were but a nipper, did you ever read about Scotland losing 9-3 at Wembley to England?
Yes. But if you're going to ask me anything more about it.
1961, the Scotland goalkeeper was Frank Haffey, who played for Celtic. I saw Frank Haffey take a goal kick at Celtic Park and put the ball into his own net.
Wow.
And the crowd thought, what? But of course the goal could not be awarded against Celtic because the free kick has got to clear the penalty box before it's in play. So he got away with one. He actually scored a known goal from a bye kick.
All right, okay.
But it didn't count.
When was this? 60 what?
61, 58 years ago, that's all.
I remember it well.
I think you'll agree it was a little bit before my time. We're going to speak to George and Rutherglen very soon. Let's quickly hear from a man who made a big impact at the weekend, Scott McDonald. His debut for Partick Thistle, he says it was a fairy tale, scoring in the 2-0 win against Alloa. He came out of what was essentially retirement to join the Jags on Friday. And would you believe it, he says playing fives with Mark Wilson and Alex Ray of all people helped keep him fit. I don't know about that.
It's not about me, it's about helping the team, Partick Thistle, the boys. Have been excellent to me since I come in, start of the week, and it's a fairy tale start, so I'm just delighted I could help, you know, earn those 3 points for us today, and hopefully it's onwards and upwards for all of us.
On our radio show this afternoon, Alec Ray and Mark Wilson were claiming credit for your form and fitness.
Imagine,
they said they've been putting you through the ringer on the five-a-side, so what would your response be to that, Scott?
Yeah, well, Alex kicked me enough times to so that kick I got today, I was more than ready for that. But yeah, look, actually, that's been really good for me. I've always kept my fitness levels up. I don't think I've really stopped mentally. I probably work harder than what you would normally do every day because you're putting yourself through a pre-season. Every single day you want to push yourself to the limit, whether it be on treadmill or HIIT classes, whatever you're doing. I mean, and then I'm playing three times a week with the boys, and you're playing, it's actually a really good level.
In terms of likely events, I'm going to add Alex Ray kicking people at fives to Hugh Keevans gets match prediction wrong.
Yes.
They're up there with each
yes.
other.
Well, at least we're consistent, Hugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, big impact anyway. Huge win for Partick Thistle, and that run just carries on.
Great to see Scott back. Yes. I'm told he could have had a hat-trick, so... onwards and upwards. He's already made a difference to Partick Thistle. They've moved up to a place in the league where they're 3 points behind in Fermon. The clouds are starting to lift in Maryhill, and there's a real air of positivity, and I think they're going to be all right.
George is a Rangers fan in Rutherglen. What's on your mind after the weekend, George?
Hi, evening, guys.
Hello, George.
If I can make 2 points, but really this is my main one. Mm-hmm. My second one. And just on the goalkeeper topic, remember Boric, the goalie, forget his name.
Yeah, Arthur Boric.
Aye, Kenny Miller go to the game. That was a bit of a howler.
Alright, yeah, I think day. I remember that one.
My main point is, I'm one of the people that's going to actually come on and criticise Gerrard. I know it doesn't happen too much, but we'll probably see it happening over the next couple of weeks if he doesn't start to get more... I see a shoot to what's been on it. My main gripe is I think you get certain things wrong and we don't see certain things. I'll give you a couple of examples. More based on Alex, if that's okay, but no one to give you Gerard doing or anything like that, but I do see things that we fail at. First one is our conversion from corner kick. If it was our worst team in Europe, then if somebody could point that out to me, I was lucky to know. We got close to corner kick. The conversion, and it's been like half a year to be fair, but it's never been addressed. And it's still the same at the moment. I think there was one game we got 25 corner kicks in one game this season, which is extraordinary. The other one is that we don't shoot from outside the box. Yeah. Now, I remember Gerard actually addressing this and saying we need to do something more about it. And still nothing get done. And the other one, which is my main gripe, is the amount of time Tavernier, I think he is, hits the first player trying to shoot a ball is unbelievable. What do they practice at Lochinvary? It's one of the most simplest things in the world. If you don't think it's going to get over the first man, don't do it. And you do it all the time. And, you know, it's extraordinary. I also think he got it wrong at Kilmarnock for the Scottish Cup game. I think he got it the wrong way around. I think you should have put Marfitt up front and then got the four on. And they put the four on and then they'll be done to play a high ball goal game.
Let me put those points to Alex George, just because we're running slightly out of time. I must admit, I don't have Rangers' conversion rate to hand. I don't know how it compares, Alex, to the average. Does your gut tell you that George has a point? The Rangers need to make more of these situations?
I'm actually trying to rack my brains back to earlier part of the season when they scored a couple of goals. I think Golson and Katic scored from a couple of corners, but in the main it doesn't spring to mind that they scored a lot of goals.
Now, it is worth remembering, do you remember we had Dougie Wright, Livingston's analyst, on the show?
Yes.
And he was telling us that in general terms in football you only have about a 1 in 30 or 40 chance of scoring from a corner. That's the average across the board.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But there is actually ones who are actually specialists at it. If you take Livingston as an example, Gordon, so there is always room for improvement.
What about George's point about delivery and so on, because
yeah.
And this is where I really like listening to the calls, because yeah. you get a much more detailed insight. I obviously am in here every Saturday. I don't see 90 yes. minutes of Rangers. I'm always under the impression that generally Tavernier and Candace's delivery is pretty good.
Yeah.
But George watches him all the time and he's actually saying it frustrates him.
Yeah, I think Candace is probably a bit more to blame when it comes to that. For me, Gordon, he doesn't actually pick out players when he's in very, very good positions. If my memory serves me right, I'm led to believe that Tavernier has quite a lot of assists this year, so that would suggest that he's actually hitting the target. So, but there's always room.
I think Candace does as well, to be fair.
Is he up there with assists as well then? Well, we may well be wrong on that, but it goes back to the ratio then, Gordon, you know, in terms of the amount of times you get into to decent areas. So, but for me, in my mindset, I've got the Rangers guys doing that right-hand side tend to do okay on that side. And I think he was talking about the conversion rate as well for the edge of the box for the midfielders as such. As I said earlier on,
you agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I think they have to take more pot shots. They have to believe in what they're trying to do, try and mix it up to try and suck out players, to try and kind of put blocks in so that you've got more space to give and goes around about the edge of the box. So no, I agree with that as well.
Thanks to George in Rutherglen. We're looking for 11 managers in England's League One or above who've played in Scotland. Guys like Tony Mowbray, Paul Lambert, David Hopkins and Jack Ross, who just appeared on the TV screen.
I've got one for you.
You'll get a second before I have to explain it. You've just put on your tiptoes there and I think he's obviously got one.
Go for it. Lee Johnson at Bristol City.
I've got him down, yeah.
I thought that was the hardest one by a mile. No, in fact it's not, but I thought it was one of the hardest ones. Well done,
Kelly.
Lee Johnson, Kelly Ante. He actually played for Hearts as well.
Yes. Alex Neil.
Yep. Preston.
Joey Barton.
Is that from his days at Marseille? Is that the way he used to pronounce
oui,
it?
Oui.
Yep, Joey Barton is one of them as well, if I could find my list. Yep. Plays manager for Fleetwood.
Yes, and Derek Adams.
Okay, well done. That's a decent number. We'll leave that be. We'll get the rest of the answers, more of your calls, your goalkeeping mistakes, and much more coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been going over all the weekend's big talking points. Sometimes that leads us down a certain path, Hugh, and we're asking for goalkeeping howlers. This is after Colin Doyle at Fir Park yesterday. A great response to this. William's on Twitter and another tweeter by the name of Craig Gordon's Cat. And both throwing in a similar one, Peter McCloy. He says, I think it was at Hampden, a long shot, and Big Pete hangs on the crossbar, expecting it to go over.
Scottish Cup final, was
but
against,
it drops under the bar.
Given Lighthouse.
Yes.
Davy Collins says, Ian Andrews, 5-1, Rangers 1988, horror show.
Yeah, never seen again after that.
And here's one that you'll remember, Gilles Roussy against Loudrup in the Scottish Cup final as well. So there we go. At Clyde SSB, there's a lot of good answers coming in. On the teaser as well tonight, I must say. Scott Murray has got a couple of them on Twitter. Jay has thrown in a couple as well. So what we're looking for is 11 managers in England's League One or above who have played in Scotland. So guys like Tony Mowbray, Lee Johnson, Paul Lambert, Alec Neil, David Hopkins, Joey Barton, Derek Adams, Jack Ross, which means you've only got three to get.
We're struggling now. We think it's an English or foreign guy who played up in Scotland.
One is easy, I would say, in terms of the profile he had up here. He may even have been mentioned on tonight's show at some point. And the other two are murder. But one, I would say, is easy for a number of reasons.
Right, okay, that helps us essentially.
No end.
I mean, you're talking proper good playing career up here, and he also managed up here as well. Not all these guys did.
Stuart McCall.
Yes. I just gave you too much there, didn't I?
No,
I just dangled it.
Why did I not get me, Stu? Because he actually went to, where is he? Is it Doncaster?
Scunthorpe. Yeah.
Yes, because he went down to Bradford, didn't he? He left the Fives as well. That Fives get some jobs.
Scunthorpe just makes me really, it makes me shudder, because it takes me back to a night where we did a question about body parts contained in football team names.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm going to move swiftly on before we need to dwell
Please
on
do.
That one any further. 01419511025. Charlie is in Airdrie. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing, Gordon?
Yeah, good, thanks.
What it is, we're not talking about titles and what have you. As far as I'm concerned, I'm proud of my team this season. I'm a Rangers supporter. I think you know that anyway. I'm proud of Gerrard. I believe he's put Scottish football back on the map. And the thing is, Celtic, this is the first season for a long, long time since we've been, Celtic's been looking over their shoulder at us to see where we are. People have been saying, what was the Rangers score? What was the Rangers score? What was the Celtic score? What was the Rangers score? So this season has been an exciting season as far as I'm concerned. I was at the game on Saturday and I was watching paint dry. But at the end of the day, you get these kind of games and all, I let Jared down big time. I feel sorry for him in a kind of a way. But I think we'll get second, and a bonus would be to get into the final in the cup and win it. If we got that and second, that would do me this season, and then we can build for next season.
Charlie, is there a points gap that you're looking at? Because I mean, second could mean by 3 points, it could mean by 15. Would both be equally acceptable, or are you looking for to get within a certain distance?
Well, the closer the better. But at the end of the day, you'll still end up saying, if you end up saying, that'll do me, as I say. And if we do get into the final in the cup, we beat the Kilmarnock and we'll go straight to the into the final. After that.
What would you make of that, Alex, then? Because listen, there is a long way to go, let's be honest. If it is going to be second for Rangers, is there such a thing as a strong second? Does it make any difference how much they finish second by?
Yeah, you would look to try and better last year's point tally. You wouldn't like it to be any bigger because...
So the gap or the tally? The gap?
Just the gap, Gordon. Do you know what I mean? The tally is irrelevant, but it's interesting because if you go back years ago, Sir Alex won the league with about 15, 18 points less than he originally won the year before. So if you can get the gap, being that little bit closer, that would be something tangible. But I agree with Charlie in terms of the importance of the Scottish Cup.
Charlie's ever so slightly premature in that he says if Kilmarnock are beaten on Wednesday, then they're into the final.
Well, they're not at Aberdeen.
Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and then a semi-final after that. So the Rangers have got a bit of work to do with regard to the Scottish Cup. For me, the bottom line is, if you look at where Rangers were a year ago and look at where they are today, then clearly improvement has been made. Not enough in the eyes of many Rangers supporters, but improvement has been made. The problem with finishing second, Rangers would then be 2 seasons away from what the supporters regard as the nightmare, Celtic winning 10 in a row. So if Celtic get to 8, then it stands to reason that tension rises, the squad will need to be looked at again, and Rangers will have to get it right in terms of recruitment over the summer, because a mild panic will set in at 9 and a definite case of panic will set in if Celtic are going for 10.
Thanks to Charlie on Twitter at Clyde SSB. More goalkeeping howlers are coming in. Peter Enkelman, Aston Villa, Birmingham, says Scott Wright. Remember that, the throw-in under his foot.
Was that the one he went to try and control? And it was
his own player takes the throw-in, throws it back and goes under his foot. Wow, that was horrendous. And I like this view. Drew Mack has sent us a tweet. This is on the back of, was it George or the previous caller, saying he feels Rangers' conversion rate from corners. We've managed to unite sort of the Celtic and Rangers fans, because Drew says, I'd actually say Celtic are worse at corners. First time a corner went well for us was 91 minutes on Sunday. So that, there we go. We need to dig out the stats on that one.
Well, you know, direct to score, you know, corner kick, a header, a goal, it used to be an old Celtic trick. But when you look at the size of the players now, Boyata, Simunovic, Benkovic, it's remarkable how often Celtic fail to score from a corner kick. Remember, it was Boyata's header back to Brown that led to the goal. Not that the Celtic fans are worrying. That was the most significant moment of the weekend for them.
Just before we go, we've not had a great deal of time to dedicate to the picture at the bottom. On paper, you look at St Mirren going to Pittodrie and you think that's a really good point. Well done, Oran Kearney. And that's still true, but there must be a bit of frustration when you come off and find out that Dundee have picked up all three.
We said that the other week, Hugh, but we felt as if there was a bit of improvement in Dundee's performances. They're starting to score goals, a lot more resilient at the back. And with the boy Wright scoring in the manner he is, he's brought a zip to them, and the boy Nelson up front, they look, for me, they look as if they're going to kick on. And I think there's some... you have to take encouragement if you're a St Mirren fan as well, going up to Pittodrie. Oran Kearney said prior to kick-off, he says, we're just looking for that win that kicks us on.
Well, they started the day 3 points away from the team second bottom in the league. they finished the day 5 points away from the team second bottom of the league. So
still a good point though, because because then it would have been six, yes, if they'd not picked that up.
Yeah. Good point on a bad day.
Right, okay, I'm happy with that. Right, we've got two answers to get on Robert's teaser. fulltime@clyde1.com is the address you need to send your questions in. 11 managers in England's League One or above who have played in Scotland: Tony Mowbray, Lee Johnson, Paul Lambert, Alec Neil in the Championship, David Hopkins, Joey Barton, Derek Adams, Jack Ross from League One, which means you've got two to get, and not a lot of time to get them.
No.
Well, you will have to give us at least what division, and we can maybe work.
Well, they're both in League. They're both in League One.
Both League One. Is it the Walsall one?
Bristol Rovers.
So Rovers.
And Doncaster Rovers. So even that in itself is probably tough.
Yeah, I should know this year.
Interestingly, they both played for the same Scottish club,
which was Kilmarnock.
Livingston. These two are tough. Really, really tough. I didn't even see too many of the old Twitterati getting these, Hugh. And that's when you know, because the knowledge out there is frightening.
Well, it's either phone a friend or give us initials.
Lee someone?
No. The Doncaster Rovers manager had a bit more of a memorable playing career, I would say. Hope I'm not being unfair on the other guy. He played for Livingston four times on loan in 1999. His initials are GM. Nah, I think I'm going to have to give you
Gary
Grant.
Oh, so it's the Grant, the Irish kid,
Grant McCann. And the other one, Bristol Rovers, Graham Coughlin.
Oh,
there we go. Thank you, Hugh and Alex. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow with Roger and Gordon, and Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.